Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Mountain Man Dan Show. Man, I don't know, Nick, how long has it been since we've done a show? About 6 months, maybe? Not quite that long?
5 or 6 months at least.
Yeah, been kind of a crazy summer with me trying to get a house built and working, 14, 16, 18 hours a day on the North Slope right now working, so it's just been kind of crazy, and unfortunately this show got pushed to a back burner, but we're going to go ahead and try to see if we can get on a somewhat normal schedule again. So what have you been up to?
I was just working myself to death. What's new?
How's that van project going?
It's going. It seems like that's all I ever have time for.
For those that don't know, Nick has, what is it, a 1988 StarCraft F1 or Econoline 150 conversion van?
Yeah, I'm
that
trying to get it below 4,000 pounds. I've been gutting all the interior out of it, and I'm building a 306 small block for it, all that stuff. So unconventional racing.
You got semi-sponsored for the build, didn't you?
Not really. I got. It was on the Uncle Tony's Garage channel on YouTube, but I'm supposed to be doing some more videos. Yeah. But it's just trying to find time to do everything.
Yeah. Well, basically, we hear about all these guys, building old shitty cars and trying to make shit box races. Nick's this
I'm
guy. He's the
living
only
it.
one in the nation. He's the only one I'm aware of that's got an actual shit brick. It's not a shit box. It's a shit brick.
Yeah, it's not a box. It's a brick. But honestly, I actually don't like working on cars. I just like the finished project, the finished product of it. That's the only reason I really do it. Guns are about the only thing
Yeah,
to
I don't
actually
really.
enjoy beginning to end.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of turning wrenches. I like getting stuff fixed, and I like tuning up stuff a little bit, but I'm not real fond of the actual, knuckle busting part. But
No, but fortunately, we have a lot of new iron in our firearm stables to hopefully keep the show going all summer when summer comes around.
I'm thinking. Yeah, I got a few new ones since the last time we did a show. I think you've got a few new ones since the last time we do a show. I bought three this week that we'll be talking about here pretty soon.
Here in the next couple weeks, I'm going to get into a brush gun, and I know I'm going to get into a 480 Ruger. Probably going to go with a Super Blackhawk Bisley for a 480 Ruger. I thought about an Alaskan or a Super Redhawk, but I feel like the Super Blackhawk would probably be the way to go with that. I don't know. Maybe
Yeah,
a Super
so
Redhawk. I don't know.
I'm up here working on the slope right now. So the deal I made with myself is after every 6 week hitch, I'm going to buy a new semi expensive gun when I get home. I got this brush gun project I'm working on right now that we'll talk about a little bit here in a little while. And then I really want to try out a 480 Ruger. I keep hearing about it. I've been anxious. I'm probably going to get a single action. I'm probably going to go with the Ruger, but I haven't ruled out the BFR yet
I
either.
will say this. I've been toying with the idea of a custom shop BFR, and they're beautiful, but they're a lot of money. I mean, literally, for the price, I mean, I'm sure they're wonderful, but for the price, you could damn near have a custom gun built, by a well-known name. I was at a gun show about 3 weeks ago out here in Lebanon, Tennessee, and you won't believe what I found, but a guy out there had two Gary Reeder African specials built on, old 30 carbine Blackhawks, or no, excuse me, 357 maximum JRH frame Super Blackhawks. And they one was 475 line ball, and the other one was 500. And they were both $1,500, and they hadn't been shot.
That's a pretty good deal. My neighbor across the street from me, he's an old veteran, and he has a very early production John Lineball conversion in 500 on a Super Blackhawk Bisley. It's got a really nice set of aged stags on it, and then he got the matching when he had the gun. He's not the one that had the gun built. He bought it. A friend of his son's had it built.
Right.
And he ended up buying it. That's got the matching knife and the belt. It's beautiful. I'll have to see if I can get some pictures of it again and put it on the
Now,
page.
some of the early ones, weren't they in that one cartridge I love so much, the 50 Wyoming or whatever it was, 50 Wyoming Express?
Yeah.
Those are neat. John Linebaugh's an absolute genius. I mean, his guns and cartridges are just fabulous. I can't think of a better
Yeah.
big bore six gun. I mean, really, if you think about it, I know that, the 500 Smith and Wesson's pretty hot, but the 500 Linebaugh is just in such a different world when it comes to power. I mean, it really is starting to bridge the gap between handgun and rifle when it comes to ballistic energy.
Yeah, and the thing about the 500 Smith and Wesson, yeah, it might be a little, I mean, it is more powerful, but the guns are so freaking large, where you can build a 5-shot 500 wine ball and still put it on a regular Super Black Hawk, or I don't think he does Red Hawk conversion, but a Super Black Hawk, not relatively a huge pistol for the amount of power you're getting there.
Now, isn't 500 Linebaugh is quite a bit more powerful than a 500 Smith, isn't it?
I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is. Let's see if I can pull up some ballistics here. 500
I know the 475
line ball.
Linebaugh is a hell of a penetrator. I mean, it will just.
500, yeah, the 475 is quite a bit more than the like the 480 Ruger, but I think the 500 line ball is I think it is less than the 500
Now,
Smith. I'm trying to pull
for
up.
our listeners and viewers out there, if you're looking into a big bore revolver and you don't want to spend more than $1,300, just buy the Smith and Wesson 460V. I know the 500's really cool because it's got the name, but if you buy the 460, you can shoot the 460, the 454 Casull, all the just stupid hot 45 Colts you'd ever want in 45 Auto Rem, all in the same gun. It's such a more versatile gun.
Yeah.
And you can actually shoot somewhat more affordable ammo in it. And 460 is not a slouch. It's fast. There's some of them out there like
So,
what, 22 to 2400 feet a second out of one of those 5-inch handguns. I mean, it's pretty warm.
here's the ballistic. The 500 Smith and Wesson's about 200 foot per second more than the line ball is. The line ball tops out with about a 460 grain bullet because of the cylinder length, where you can get 700 and up on the 500 Smith.
Right.
And then the pressure on the 500 Smith tops out at about 60,000 PSI versus the line ball at 40,000 PSI. So it is substantially hotter than the line ball, but you're going with a way bigger and a way heavier gun.
Yes, the 500's a behemoth. But to me, my father actually has a 5-inch 460V, and I actually think it's a very pleasant gun to shoot. It doesn't really recoil that hard. I actually think my 4-inch 629 with full house loads actually recoils more than it does with just off the shelf Hornady 460 in it.
Does that 5 inch, does that have a built-in muzzle brake,
It
or is it
does.
just
And they come with two of them. You swap them out. One of them's for jacketed and full metal jacket bullets, and the other one's for hard cast.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So that'll help with recoil quite a bit.
It's actually not a bad gun for 1150 is about what they go here local. I mean, it's actually not
No,
bad.
they're definitely
If you don't want to be on a waiting list and you just want to go buy something and walk out with it and literally hunt anything on any continent, you can take it to Africa and hunt Big Five with it. It's not a bad way to go. It really isn't. They're just big.
Yeah, it is a big gun. But they're a good gun. I had a 500 for a while, and I got rid of it because I just favor a 44 Magnum, because they're, I feel like whatever I can do with that I need to get done, I can do with a 44, have a small enough gun that I can pack it every day and not be in a inconvenience. And still have plenty of firepower to handle anything I need to handle up here in Alaska.
Oh yeah, in Alaska, 44 Magnum or even a 454 Casull at the most, I'd feel totally confident with, or a really warm 45 Colt and a quality revolver. But like the 500 and the 460, they are kind of a novelty gun in a way. The only place I can see them like if it was legal, if I lived in South Africa or something and I was outdoors all the time, that would probably be on one of the short lists of double action revolvers I'd carry there. That's about all I would want. If, you know, you're talking Cape Buffalo and Lion and things like that. Yeah, 460 or a 500, sure. But anywhere in the greater North America or anywhere in my part of the woods in Tennessee, a 44 Magnum will do just about anything you want it to do.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of the 44. Let's not meaning to change subject, but I was hoping to have this be a somewhat short episode. Cause I gotta go to work. I gotta be up at 3 a.m. for work tomorrow. You were asking me earlier about red dot sights. I'm just gonna touch on that here on the show a little bit, but I think the might be an interesting subject to touch up on here real quick.
Should I put one on the infield first, or should I put one on the actual canic?
I think it would look weird as hell on the infield.
And for for those who don't know, I just acquired a 1939 infield 38 200 service revolver. That thing is sweet. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty. You should put some pictures of that up on the Facebook page. Okay. But yeah, I just was noticing that new canic he got is cut for an RMR slate.
It's the new TP9 SFX, but I got the blackout model, so it's got the black slide on it, which I much prefer over the stainless slide, just for my personal taste.
Yeah. So for a long time, I thought that the dots on a pistol were kind of a dumb idea, and not necessarily a dumb idea, but kind of pointless. You know, if you have good eyes and you can see. Until I got a chance, I had a Glock 34 that was cut, and I put a dot on that, and I actually came to really like it.
I always thought it was race gunnish, you know?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't put one on a concealed carry gun because, for one, I never really had any battery issues, but I still don't 100% trust something that you're going to carry every day that has to have a battery that has to stay charged. And then for two, it just adds a little more bulk, you know, and for general self-defense situations, I don't think it'd add that much of a game. But just for a range gun, you know, and like shooting plate racks and stuff, I learned to really like it.
Well, I actually thought of a use for it. You know, I know everybody does competition, so this is probably sort of archaic and old school of competition, but I think it would be good for a bowling pin gun.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, when I was shooting mine, I was shooting USPSA, and I was using it in USPSA, and I learned to really like it. The first dot that I bought was a Vortex Viper. I think that was like $225. No, it wasn't, but it didn't hold up. I put it on a 1022 at first, and I am 95% sure that the one I had was defective from the factory.
Right.
But it was never very bright. It was kind of hard to see even on the highest setting. You know, if it was a bright day, it was a. And then I put it on the Glock, and the first match I shot with it on the Glock, it completely failed. And then I had to screw around with the battery. I got it to work again. It just never. So I sent it back to Vortex, and I told them, you know, I told them I'm shooting competitively, and I wasn't very happy. And their representative got a hold of me, and they're like, "Well, if you want to pay the difference, we'll upgrade you to a Razor." So I went ahead and paid the difference. I got the Razor, which is their top end one. And it was fantastic. It was bright. It was easy to see. It had a great big dot in it. And it never, ever had any kind of problems as long as I used it. But they're about $450.
Yeah, the one I'm looking at is the Leupold Delta Pro. And I'm actually wanting to get the one that's actually got, like, the actual Delta Triangle reticle instead of the regular round reticle.
I've played with the Delta Point Pros, and they so when you're shooting USPSA, there's only about three dots that people really run. The Vortex Razor, there's one of the model SIGs, and I forget which model it is, but you see some of the guys running SIG dots, and then the Delta Point Pro, not the standard Delta Point, but the Delta Point Pro. I think they're a little bit cheaper than the Razors are. And I played with the Delta, with the one with the little triangle dot a little bit. And it is, if you're trying to do a little bit more precision shooting, you can use it kind of like a front sight. It is a very, it's a good dot. I really like those. Plus, with the Leupold, you get a good warranty.
Well, the thing I really like about the Leupold is, you know, you can buy separately from them a rear sight that actually bolts to the back of the RMR itself, to where if it does go dead or whatever, you'll actually have the correct height rear sight to go at your front sight, to where you just co-witness it right through the glass, like you're just using
Yeah,
regular
they make.
irons.
Yeah, there's quite a few different places, different mounts you can buy that do that with the co-witness. And that's neat. The Vortex ones, I think it was, no, it was my Burris. I had a Burris Fastfire 2, and it was a good, they're about $200. I never had any problems with that one. Other than the window was just kind of small. When you're shooting fast with a dot, you have to be able, it doesn't, so that's one of the things, like, as long as the dot is, as long as you can see the dot in the glass, it does not matter where. That was one thing that took me to get a, I kept thinking, you have to center the dot in the glass, and it doesn't matter. As long as the dot is in the glass, anywhere in the glass, and the dot is on target, you're going to hit the target. So it's really cool for speed shooting because of that. But it's night, the bigger windows are like the Razors and the Delta Points and that kind of stuff are nice, because a smaller window, it's a lot easier to lose that dot during recoil or
Yeah,
movement.
I can definitely see that, but like you were saying, for concealed carry, if I was going to have one on a carry gun, I would have to have it be able to, co-witness with a real iron front and rear sight too. Some people eliminate the rear sight completely, which is fine for a race gun or something, but nothing ever goes right for you in a gunfight in the street. So I would kind of prefer to have both. That way, if
Yeah,
something does go wrong, or you drop the gun and it gets broken and you pick it back up, you still have something, to where the gun's usable.
Yeah, 100%. If I was gonna put one on a race or on a concealed carry gun or any kind of gun, even a hunting gun that I would be using out in the woods, and you don't want to miss a shot, I would try to put some kind of co-witness sights on it. The Burris Fastfire 2 had a it had a white line on the back, so you could still kind of center it and use that as a single post sight, and it worked, but it's not as good as a co-witness.
Right.
But yeah, that's my opinion on when it comes to dots. We all know that when you buy a scope or a rifle or anything gun related, you get what you pay for. But I think that is especially true with the micro dots, just because they're trying to put so much technology into such a small thing. So yeah, the Leupold and the Vortex both have really good warranty. I had the Burris one, and my only complaint with that one was how small the window was. Other than that, I never had any problems with it. I had it on a 22 for a while, and then actually, while my first Vortex was at getting repaired, I had that one on the Glock for a while as well.
Yeah, I mean, the cheap ones just don't work. I mean, I know a lot of guys will get them off Amazon, get Walmart ones and stuff. And, it's actually a shame, because I see people put the really cheap ones on really expensive guns. Like recently, I saw a guy had an FN 509 Tactical, and he slaps, one of those, what was it? I think it was, I'm trying to think the brand off the top of my head. It was like a Bushnell or something. It's like, come on, man. You're going to drop that kind of dough on a gun and then cheap out on that. I mean, if you're going to do it, go all the way, or just don't do it at all.
I wouldn't hesitate to put a dot on, like, just to try it out. If you haven't used one, I would put one on that Canic just for fun and try it out. But save up, get a good one, make it worth your time. That way, if you don't like it, you can always save a gun or a 22 or something.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the Leupold Delta Pro for me. I think that's going to be the way to go and do the rear sight attachment and everything.
Those are really good dots. I think you'll be
They're
happy with it.
reasonably
So,
priced. I mean, you can get them for about $399, which sounds like a lot, but there are some that are significantly more.
yeah, it's not really, because you'll have it, it doesn't, it's not stuck to that one gun. You can put it on anything.
Yeah.
You sell the Canic or
Well,
whatever, you
it's
can always
pretty
get
much
another one
like
later
building
on.
a rifle. They always used to say you should spend, what was it, 75% of the cost of the rifle on the optic to get a good one?
Right. So, let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about our challenge for our listeners here. Mick and I have been talking about this on the phone here for a couple of days, and something I want to try to incorporate some of our, let's see if anybody's interested in. So we got a little bit of a challenge here. I am actually building a rifle in real life right now. I've been collecting parts for a few weeks. And when I go home on Monday, I go back home for a little while here on Monday, I want to have all the parts there to put this together, and we will record an episode sometime next week and discuss what I built. So here's the challenge. You get a $1,000 budget. You don't have to actually build a gun. It's just, you know, in theory, what you would build if you had $1,000 to spend on a is your idea of the ultimate brush gun. You know, for me, that big means big bore, fast handling, decent magazine capacity. So I'll come on next week and we'll discuss what I built.
Okay.
But Nick, what do you think about that?
I'm all in, and I actually have a wild card. If I can't find anything to buy, I think I have something in the safe that will go just fine. But
All right.
I'm kind of
Yeah.
wanting to get into a lever gun. I know we're talking about, I'm trying to find a vintage Marlin, 35 caliber, but if not, I'm really interested in the Rossi M92 45 long Colt. I'd like to get a stainless one and put like, XS Express sights on it, and kind of throw a little bit of my African influence on it, kind of set it up like a dangerous game rifle, sort of. Because I mean, it works good for a brush gun too,
Yeah,
simple.
I think you will like what I'm putting together. But I think it's a good opportunity. You know, if our listeners want to chime in, you can either post on the Facebook group, you can post on Nick or I, our personal wall, Instagram. You can send me an email. But yeah, let's. You know, I want to hear, like, what if you guys had a $1,000 budget? What's your idea of the ultimate brush gun?
Well, people can
And
post
then we'll
on
come
the
on.
Mountain Man Dan Show page on Facebook, right?
Right. Yeah. So next week when we get if we get anybody that's interested and says what they would know, next week when we get on, we'll read up whatever our listeners send in, and we'll talk about it. Man, I will reveal. And anybody that's following my personal Facebook page can probably already put together what I'm putting together. I've been talking about parts I've ordered here and there. But yeah, we'll get on the show and we'll talk about about the gun I built, and by then I'll have shot it in a little bit and we'll have an idea what it's capable of.
And I tell you another thing, listeners out there that have already built a brush gun or have what they think is the ideal brush gun, post pictures of it to our page. Because
Absolutely.
there could be something like crazy and weird, like some guy with like a 7.7 Jap Arisaka that's like cut down, and something neat, something unconventional. I always like seeing unique and different things. There's no wrong way to do a brush gun. It's whatever works for you. That's where they're anything related.
Exactly.
But yeah, post them. I'd be curious to see what everybody's got.
That's the beauty of this, because it's, you know, depending on region, you know, it could be a bolt gun, it could be a lever gun, it could be a semi-auto, it could be a pistol. I mean, it doesn't have to be a rifle. You know, if you're in an area where you think a pistol would be the best thing in a thick brush, absolutely tell us about it.
I mean, I know several guys that their
There is
brush
no.
gun's a 4-inch 44 Magnum. It is what it is.
There is no wrong answer on this. There's this just for fun, you
Even
know.
shotguns. A lot of people use shotguns for brush guns. That's
Oh hell yeah.
they make good
You know,
brush
and
guns.
it doesn't have to make that $1,000 budget. Hell, you know, you go about and buy a Maverick 88 pump 12 gauge and put some buckshot in it and call it good, and you're into $190. Cool. I mean, that's what works for you, and that's what you think is the best brush gun. I mean, tell us what you got, what you would build, what you have built, and why you think it would work really well. And we'll talk about it on the next show.
Yeah, I mean, I knew an old guy one time that had an old Savage Stevens 10 gauge single shot that was cut down to 18 and a quarter inches, and he ran 10 gauge slugs in it, and that was his brush gun. And hey, it worked just fine. I think he had a total of, oh, I don't know, $75 in that whole thing. Can't beat that.
All right, Nick. Well, we probably need to try to get this wrapped up. I'm in a camp right now, and people are going to be wanting to go to bed. They're not going to appreciate me sitting in my room talking loudly. One gun I do want to mention that I have picked up since the last episode is that Smith & Wesson Model 29. Because
Yeah, that
I
five
bought
inch
a
thing.
five inch. I bought that at the Smith & Wesson Model 29-5 Classic Hunter 5-inch with the full lug and on flute. Oh, I
Man,
love that
that
gun
thing
so
is
much. That on flute
sweet. But I have its
It
match coming in the mail.
is such a sweet shooter. I absolutely love that pistol. Well, maybe we'll have to do an episode just on 44
We
mag
will.
revolvers one of
And
these
like I
days.
said, I
Hey.
got the match for your 29. It's coming in the mail next week. It's the big powerhouse
Perfect.
36 caliber 51 Navy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I think I've got the closer match. I've got that 1905 Smith coming in next week, and I think that's a closer match to your 51 Navy. But we'll have to do a little dueling challenge. You know, my 1905 Smith against your 51
I have an
Navy,
even
and
better idea. How about your 1905 Smith versus my 39 Enfield?
ooh, that would be
America
that could be fun
versus
too. Like,
Britain. That could actually be
well,
really
like.
good.
That could be.
What
I mean, we
barrel
can even
length
do a
is
video.
yours?
That's a 4-inch, I believe.
Okay, mine's like a 5-inch. They're always like that because they got a real short cylinder in it. That would be perfect. Those are,
That would be interesting.
yeah.
Like, you know, we could come up with a couple of drills and just do a video on it. You know, shoot a couple of drills and then do like a speed reload and that
Yeah,
kind of
I would
stuff. And
like to
that
see
could be. Let's do it.
a speed reload with the conventional, side eject cylinder like yours versus a top brake, something like that.
Absolutely. Let's get together. We'll come up with a couple accuracy drills and some speed drills, and we'll see. You know, like 5 shots and a reload, and 5 shots. You know, and on 2 different targets. You know, and try to shoot for score or something like
Oh
that,
yeah.
and with a timer. But yeah, let's do an episode on that. That could be really
I'm all
interesting.
in on that.
That sounds funner than hell. We need to get that one put together.
Absolutely.
So, all right, Nick, well, I need to get this one wrapped up. But yeah, I'm really sorry about not getting a show out for a long time. We'll try to start being a little more regular about this, and look forward to next week. Next week, 100%, as long as our podcast recording equipment cooperates with us. Next week, we will be doing an episode on my brush gun build. And I'd really like to hear from any listeners. We have all 2 of you about what you think would make the ultimate brush gun.
All right, sweet.
You know what, Nick? I just realized we had 2 listeners on the last episode. I probably listened to it, and you probably listened to it. We're probably going to be the only ones that put any in an entry.
Maybe, but hey, we're just doing it for fun. That's all that matters.
that's all it is. All right, Nick. Well, let's go ahead and get this wrapped up. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next
See you
time.
guys.